much better. After two seasons, it's time to retire that theme song.
And this has a nice construction feel to it.
Perfect. What a great start for our new season, our third season of Home on the Res.
Brought to you by the good people at the First Nations National Building Officers Association, FINBOA.
FINBOA supports the work of building inspectors and all the people who do construction and renovations on First Nations across Canada.
They also have the best website with tons of interesting information about housing.
And you can find all three seasons of Home on the Res at www.fnnboa.ca.
So how are we going to start off this new season of Home on the Res?
Take a guess.
Could it be about COVID-19?
You got it. Our first episode is called COVID in the Air. We're going to learn about air and lungs and breathing and elders and children and crowding and ventilation.
All in one show? In 15 minutes?
It's all in the guests, Mick. And for this episode, we have two really knowledgeable and experienced guests, a children's lung expert and a fresh air expert.
Dr. Thomas Covesi is a pediatric respirologist.
Come again?
Dr. Covesi works with Indigenous communities in Northern Ontario and Nunavut. His research focuses on how air quality impacts lung health, especially in kids.
Did you know that because of his research, the government of Nunavut decided that all new homes have to have HRVs?
And what exactly is an HRV?
Great question. Our second guest is here to answer it. Gord Cook is president of Building Knowledge Canada. He's been designing, manufacturing, installing, and educating people about HRVs for 30 years.
Sounds like we're going to learn a lot.
Here's our Home on the Res reporter, Lori Dietz, with lung specialist Dr. Thomas Covesi.
First off, Tom, can you just tell us how are First Nations communities more vulnerable to COVID-19?
For Joe, I've learned to always learn from the elders. And the elders always start by saying, learn from history. So I'm going to do that. In the 2009 influenza A H1N1 pandemic, Indigenous peoples were hit really hard, especially in Northern Manitoba First Nations and also Inuit in Nunavut. And what were the reasons for that? I think there's a variety of important reasons. The first of all, these communities have small houses. They have severe overcrowding compared to the rest of Canada. And the research that we've done and are suggests that reduced ventilation is really common in Inuit and First Nations reserve housing. And ventilation is so important. We'll talk more about that afterwards as a way of clearing virus from the air.
How do Indigenous families minimize the risk of catching or spreading COVID-19?
A lot of viral transmission happens either by what we call the droplet route. So if you're within 2 meters of somebody and they sneeze in your direction and you're not wearing a mask, you can catch that virus. And a lot also happens by what we call the hand-to-nose route. So minimizing that hand-to-nose piece is really important. So teach everyone in your household that if they leave the house, when they go back inside, the first thing you do is wash your hands. COVID-19, in terms of severe disease, is really an old person's disease. And elders are much greater risk than children and are at greater risk than middle-aged people. So if you're an elder or you've got elders in your house, be really, really careful about following these precautions because you want to keep them safe. They're the people who will handle this virus the least well. Finally, if there's someone with COVID-19 who has to self-isolate in your house, try and keep them to one room. Keep the door closed if possible. Don't share towels. And also, really important, if someone is either self-isolating in a designated place in your community, or if you're confining them to one room in your house, check on their mental health. Self-isolating is really stressful, and it's depressing and anxiety-provoking. So you really want to check on their mental health, support them, get them help if they're showing signs of not handling this well. In terms of other things that you can do to prevent people from getting sick, first step, don't smoke if at all possible. Smoking commercial marijuana, also commercial tobacco smoke, also marijuana, also vaping, all these things have been shown to help virus spread more around your respiratory tract. So if you've been thinking about quitting, this is a superb time to do it. Mold may well play a role in decreasing the immune system. So things that you can do to decrease mold in your house. If it's a small area, we recommend you can clean that yourself using lots of soap and water. Other important pieces in terms of your house, burn dry wood. Good wood burning practices are really important to keep the air in your house as healthy as possible. The other really important tool that you probably have in your house is a heat recovery ventilator. Ventilation is one of your biggest tools for improving the air quality in your house to begin with. And it's also one of the best ways of reducing virus because it'll either move virus out of the building if it's there, and it's also going to dilute the amount of virus that's in the building. And in fact, for all major respiratory bugs, hospitals use ventilation as a way of decreasing transmission. So not just COVID-19, but things like tuberculosis. We know that houses in northern climates are tightly sealed to decrease heating costs and avoid drafts. And our research has shown that many of these houses are more tightly sealed than are recommended by Canadian standards. And HRV becomes a really important tool to improve ventilation in your house. You can also use your kitchen and bathroom fans, and those become a really helpful tool if you don't have an HRV. We've actually done studies in Nunavut proving basically that HRVs will decrease the transmission of respiratory viruses in tightly sealed housing in Indigenous communities.
And are we assuming that the virus is airborne, or do we know?
There's been lots of controversy whether COVID-19 is spread by the aerosol route. I mean, we're actually doing a study right now in Western Canada to try and answer that question. I think COVID-19 probably is spread by the aerosol route, but we need more data. And in the absence of that, I think using the tools that we have, so masking to prevent droplet spread, you know, that 2-meter thing, and the best ventilation you can, because if it is aerosol spread, the best way of decreasing aerosols is using your ventilation so that the evidence is there. From what we've been seeing in the Sioux Lookout Zone, a lot of HRVs don't work, either because they're turned off, they've got objects clogging their ducts, or they haven't been cleaned. So maintaining HRVs really is a two-handed process. It needs to involve housing, and it also needs to involve people living in those houses and teaching them how to do regular maintenance on their own HRVs.
Okay, Tom. Any last words that you'd like to say before we finish up here?
All of us know what a huge impact COVID-19 has had on the economy of Canada and every other country. And the government is certainly talking about infrastructure spending to stimulate the economy. And I think there's a huge potential here for Indigenous communities to advocate that if we're going to be having more spending on infrastructure, spend that money in these communities. The important piece is to look at this as a potential opportunity down the road to really develop infrastructure in all the ways that needs to happen.
Okay, Tom, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks so much, Big Wedge.
Thanks for that, Lori. And thanks to Dr. Thomas Covesi for sharing with us.
I'm sold. We need more fresh air and HRVs will help. So why don't people use them when they have them?
That's my question too. Luckily, Lori was able to ask an HRV expert, Gord Cook.
First off, why is there such a lack of understanding among tenants about the importance of maintaining these units?
People didn't grow up with these devices. They didn't see their dads doing it. And remember, we used to ventilate by opening windows. We didn't used to think about needing mechanical ventilation. My first question to you is, when would you like fresh air in your home? And your answer was, all the time. Okay, let's focus on this device, not as a heat recovery device, but as a fresh air device. In fact, let's stop calling it a ventilator. They've actually done this in the United States. They don't call them heat recovery ventilators anymore. They call it the whole house fresh air system. And you go, okay, if I call it a whole house fresh air system, when would you like fresh air? All the time. I better look after that machine. So that's where we just need to raise its profile and have people understand it's really there for the health and well-being of occupants.
How do HRV systems work?
So the concept's pretty simple. Inside the box, if you will, are two fans. One takes exhaust air from the house, like a bathroom fan, you know, just take out that stale, stinky air, the air that we've been breathing, and then simply exhaust that air outside. The second fan is bringing the same amount of fresh air in. So I have one fan that's taking air out and I have one fan that's bringing air in. And because we know where the fresh air is, it's in this known location, we filter it before it comes in and then we pass it through what's called the heat recovery core. And it's really nothing too fancy. It's a heat exchanger. It's a series of flat plates or sheets that are intertwined. And on one side of those thin sheets is the exhaust air going out. On the other side of those thin sheets is fresh air coming in. So it's not actually mixing the two air streams. They're actually separated by this heat exchanger. Think of the rad in your truck or in your car. On one side is hot water and the other side is air. In this case, it's cold air on one side, warm air on the other, and it's able to recover 70 to 80% of the temperature difference between inside and outside. And you're getting that really very cost-effectively, very efficiently, because all you're doing is running a couple of fans, the same fans you'd want to run anyway. So that's the magic of heat recovery ventilators.
So given that many of homes on First Nations are overcrowded and sometimes people smoke inside, would an HRV be more useful in these situations?
I understand the crowding issues. And when I say ventilation, it really comes down to this: how much ventilation do we need per person? So think of a basketball. That's about a cubic foot of air. You need 15 basketballs of air every minute for every person. That keeps us happy and healthy. And that's what we really need to think about, is how many people are in the house? How much ventilation do I need? So you start to see the benefit in overcrowding situations where ventilation becomes even more important. Why? Because we all deserve fresh air. We all need it. And it's really the number of people. So you size your ventilation system based on the number of people.
So would this be a stretch? It just made me think, especially now in times with COVID-19, that we want more fresh air, and especially in a home that might have up to 8 or 10 people living in it. You will be in a healthier atmosphere if the air is constantly changing. Am I correct?
Absolutely. There's a bunch of articles online right now about, yes, increase your ventilation systems. And it is absolutely one of the COVID strategies, is to increase fresh air.
Fantastic. That's definitely lots of learning for me here today. I didn't know very much about these systems. I was a little leery asking questions, but I feel like I know a lot more now.
I'm going home right now to check if I have an HRV.
Good for you, Mick. Fresh air is always important, but it's more important now that we're living with COVID-19.
I'm going to check my mom's house too. I want to make sure she's warm and has a lot of fresh air.
You're a good son, Mick. I know you make your mom proud.
She is proud. She says her favorite radio podcast is Home on the Res. She's listening on Saskatchewan's NBC Radio Network.
I love Indigenous radio. Do you know that Home on the Res is heard on 366 community radio stations across Canada?
I did know that. And you can find Home on the Res anytime on the FNBOA website at www.fnnboa.ca.
Home on the Res is brought to you by the First Nations National Building Officers Association.
Thanks to the board of FNBOA and CEO Keith Miracle for giving us this opportunity to learn about housing on First Nations.
Don't forget John Kudrowski and Shannon Avison.
And our Home on the Res reporter, Lori Dietz.
Thanks for listening to Home on the Res.